Tonight's title is 1 John 4:8, God is love. But I put a tremendous amount of thought into just generalizing how we see it, view it differently, right? And how is it possible that some of our perspective is skewed or watered down when we think about love by itself or in general? You know, to give you an idea, right? I mean, I love Cheetos. I love my motorcycle. I love my kids. I love my wife. I love my car. Right? You love Craig. Right? But I mean, you know, I love vacation days. Sometimes I love not going to work or, you know, watching a movie. Now, how many times do we express ourselves in the different styles and manners of love? But we view it that way. But, you know, I don't want to start to think to myself about God's love towards me when I think that I love French fries. You know what I'm saying? And I love French fries. I eat them until I'm sick. They're bomb, right? Yes or no? Some of you guys might eat apples. I'm fine with that. But at the end of the day, we love all these weird little things in our lives. We love our bikes. We love our routines. We do not love to break our routines, right? I mean, it's just so funny how you can love the littlest things. I love lilacs. I love lilacs. I got two lilac bushes when I was little. My mom had a lilac tree, so I think it was just kind of a memory or something. But they only bloom for like 11 hours, right? So they come for 11 hours of the year. You got to get out there and smell them, and then they're gone until next year again. I love them. But do I love lilacs or my wife or my kids or my car or my job? Well, table the job conversation. I don't know if I can say that I love my job. I'm thankful for it, right? Amen. Super thankful to have an opportunity to work. But I wouldn't consider that love. I have a passion to move forward that I probably love. Or maybe some of us have a lot of pride in our lives that we could label that we love. Yes or no? Right? I've heard people say that I can't love you until I know how to love myself. How many times have you guys heard that?
Yeah.
How many times have you heard that? Everybody says that. The Bible don't say that. Nowhere in the Bible does it say I got to learn how to love me to know how to love you. Right? But I think about what is love. I love coffee. I love Cheetos. I love God. My perspective of this love is skewed. So what happens is, I live my life on a regular day basis not thinking of the amount of love that God has for me. Yes or no? Right? Today when you woke up, your alarm went off, and you went off to work, or you had to do whatever things you had to do, was your first thought, man, God loves me. He loves me so much. I can draw from that love. My whole world can change from that. Was that your thought process? It wasn't mine. The alarm went off. Snooze, you know, it's Monday again. But Deuteronomy 32:10 says, you know, it's Moses, and he's remembering God in his life. And that's the thing that we do and can do. I mean, how many of us can think of a time when God showed up in our life? Yes or no?
Yeah, yeah.
Nobody can remember a time? I know that I've got 11 different times that I didn't deserve God to show up, and he did. Amen. Yes or no?
Yes.
And Moses did too. And he uses a song. He says, he sustained him in a desert land, in a howling wilderness waste. He shielded him, cared for him, guarded him as the apple of his eye, as an eagle stirs up its nest and hovers over its young and bears them aloft in its pinions. The Lord alone guided him. No foreign God was with him. Amen. And he's singing this, and he's talking about this because they went through such a tumultuous time. You know, in Exodus 13:21, it was saying that the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of mist, but before them by night in a pillar of fire. And you're kind of reading along. It's just a lot of information. You're just kind of reading along. You don't go to realize that. Why did God do that? Why did he do that? But if you think about the setting and being in the desert during the day, in the middle of the desert, how many of us are going to walk
I'll tell you right now, you're going to take me and get me 10 miles in the desert right now. It's over with, right? So he went as a cloud of mist before them. But then at night in the desert, there's no heat. So he went as a cloud of fire before them and leaded them and guided them. Now, meanwhile, remember, they're all stubbing their toes. They just won't get right, can't get right. I've got 35 plus years of can't get right, stubbing my toes. Amen, right? But I can see God in that fire. I can see God in that mist trying to lead and guide us along the way. He was right there. And they're like, well, I'm going to stub my toes. He said, okay, we're going to go this way for a minute. You know? Stub your toes again. We're going to go this way for a minute. I don't know how many bids you guys got down, but I got quite a few. Right? I've got quite a few people who never came back from them. Yes or no, right? But you think about this, and he was just so thankful that he understood that God was in his life. And for that purpose, he provided them. And that's why they kind of, not going to get into the Hebrew names. I could talk to you guys for like 2 hours just on Hebrew names for God. But it's one God, right? One God, but the way that he would be able to present himself to his own people that he cared for, like in the verse, aloft in its pinions, means that you're safe, that I am what you need. Why did they call God, you know, Jehovah Nissi, my banner, or Jehovah Shalom, my peace, or all these different names for God? Is because we only need one God for all of our times of trouble. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But it's understanding that power that he has for us. 1 John 4 says, we come to know and have believed that the love of God, which is for us, God is love, and the one who abides in that love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this, love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, also are we in the world, and there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love, but we love because he first loved us. And that's such a powerful demonstration to understand that God loved me in a time of my life when I didn't want and or love him. Yes or no? Right? I mean, some of us may still be on the fence, kind of trying to figure out where we're at with this whole thing, because it's hard for us as people to go all in. Right? I'll never forget playing poker. When I knew I had it, I go all in. Now, I'm an unlucky, terrible poker player, so I go all in and just take them. You know, I wouldn't get them back. But I would go all in. I understand that principle. But now, looking at my life spiritually, you know, I've got to go all in. You know, why are we risking this? Paul, he goes on, he says, I box as if not beating against the air. Right? He said, I run as if I'm going towards the goal. You know, why am I wasting my time and energy on all these things that are relevant in my life when all I can really honestly do to perfect me? Because he's, you know, that's the whole funny thing that we're talking about right now. And I know that sometimes love can be an uncomfortable conversation because some of you guys are too tough, right?
Yeah.
But the reality, especially LaBelle, but I used to think I was the tough guy, right? But at the end of the day, you can't tell me anybody in any place, in any situation that don't want to be loved, right? No matter where you were on the street, no matter what you've been through, no matter what, you always just wanted to be loved, yes or no, right? But it's like a devious kind of place where sometimes we want to just try to take that love, because that's the way we are. We're just people, we don't quite understand it. But when he says that God is love, and when you abide in his love, you abide in God, and that there's no fear in love, because love perfects you. That's so amazing to think about. That's just so amazing to think about. This joy, it's children, it's my friends, it's my past, it's my, you know, how many different versions of love did we share here, and all of us felt it to be true? Right? Amen?
Yep.
But they're just different variations. Yes, Narcissus. What's up, man?
How you doing?
We love Narcissus, right? Right?
We're talking about love, buddy.
So the more we can draw ourselves towards that love, the more that he can perfect us in that love. And that's just the whole thing. I got to take this fleshly mindset and experience and past and pride, and I got to put that on the table, and I got to get in that word, and then just stay in that word and understand that when he lights that light bulb off, I got to listen. Amen? I got to move towards that, right? Because the longer I hold off, the longer I hold out. You know, I can never not think of Ecclesiastes when he says, remember him when the golden bowl is crushed and the wheel of the cistern, you know, is smashed and the dust returns to the dust and the soul returns to the God that gave it. Now, I probably massacred it because I'm paraphrasing. But at the end of the day, what he means is that if you're awake right now and you're hearing that word of God right now, when's the time to latch onto it? It's right now. Amen? Because none of us are guaranteed tomorrow. We don't realize what's going to happen tomorrow. And we have the ebb and flow of living in the flesh, right? And we talked about Romans 14, and sometimes even when we're committed to wanting to do the right thing, we visualize ourselves doing things that we don't want to do. Not that it's acceptable in any way, shape, or form, but the reality is maybe I'm focused too much on this worldly perspective than I am on love. Amen, right? Because if I wake up today and I'm focused on God's love and I'm living in God's love, the person that cut me off, I ain't got to run them back off the road, right? Somebody's rude to me today, I don't got to chop back at them, right? Maybe I've been holding in unforgiveness, but I can't harbor unforgiveness if I'm harboring love, right? Amen? Amen. Right? So it casts out all these different things the more we put it in there. But then he goes on in Romans 5:8 to say, God demonstrates his own love. He demonstrates. And I love that because we talk about it. Amen, right? We talk a lot about it all the time. And many times it lines up. But God is about it all the time. Period. He don't vary like I vary. He don't let you down like I may let you down. Because he's consistent. Amen? And it says that he demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, Christ died for us. And he loves us in a way that we can't comprehend love. And it's not in the way that we love French fries dipped in Frosties. It's not in the way that we love pizza. It's not in the way that we love this girlfriend or boyfriend. It's not in the way that we love it when we get our motorcycle and go really fast. Because I love it. I can't say that I don't. I know that I do. But it's not the measurement of what God loves us. So we got to take God. He said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. As high as the heaven is above the earth are my ways above your ways. So I got to stop taking God. Come on in, Lot. I got to stop taking God and bringing him down to my level. Amen? Amen. I got to start conceptualizing God where he is. Amen. With his love. Amen.
Amen.
So Isaiah 53 gets deep. And it was a text message, but it's going might be a while. So I paraphrased it for us. It says that he was pierced through our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. Now, I stop there because there's a really strange thing in this text, right? He's talking about Isaiah, Jesus, prophesying 800 years in the future, but speaking about him past tense because that's what's going to happen, but then speaks to us in present tense and saying that his suffering is what heals you now. It's what heals you now. It was everything that he went through to did for us. And how many people did I hear mention that? You know, Christ on the cross. There's power in the cross. There's power in the message, and we got to hold on to that and understand that that's a reality. I don't want to come here and sugarcoat the truth or make you guys feel good. That's not my goal. My goal is to give you the absolute truth so you can make your own decision. Amen, right? Wouldn't you rather be able to make an educated decision based upon your own facts and spending the time in the Word? And that's what he's saying. It's saying, so what we can't do is we can't come in here and just say, hey, we're all going to feel better right now. We're all going to, you know, I'm going to encourage you guys. We're going to walk, we're going to high five and go out tonight. And we're going to be great for 11 minutes. until we get back out there. That's not what we're doing, though. Right? We honor God. We serve God. We have to understand God, right? So, like, I really want to take this understanding that God's love is so much more powerful than what we're making it, right? Because when we conceptualize that, I mean, can you imagine? And like, so it's fair to say that I love Toby, right? Everybody knows I love Toby. This is my guy. He's been coming here forever. But if they came to us and they were like, it's me or you, I don't know. Right? But God said, you know, I'm going to go ahead and do it for you. I'm going to go right now. And not only am I going to go, I'm going to let you torture me and drag me through the woods, beat me to death, and it said, by his scourging, lashes, beaten. Right? It was not a beautiful thing then. It is a beautiful thing now because we understand that dispensation of the law into the dispensation of grace. It's technical. You know, I'd like to think that I would dive right in front and save Toby, and Toby could go to work and then pay for all the kids at the house. Because that's what you'd have to do after that. Deal?
Do I get the car, too?
You can. I don't need it. But so the by his scourging we're healed. That's present tense. So it says he poured himself out to death and was numbered with the transgressors, yet he himself bore no sin, but then interceded for the transgressors. Luke 23:32 says, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So meanwhile, I take on all this suffering and I do it for you unconditionally. How many times do we hear that word? But yet we think about God as the example, and then let's put ourselves in our own mind. When we're producing his love, living our daily life, do you think that we're displaying that power with the people that we're dealing with?
No.
Huh?
No.
No, me either. Me either. I'd preach on Monday, run somebody over on Wednesday, and be mad at myself. Why did that happen? You know? How did you lose your temper that fast? What is it in my life that allows that world to just get right on your last nerve, right? Because the devil's playing chess. And we only can play checkers. But so the only way that we can beat him is if we let God do the moves, right? Amen. Right? Trust in him with all your heart, with all your soul, and he will make your path straight. So every time we make the plans, what happens? Right? I know this. I've got, I don't know how many different stents that we can talk about that just waste the time. But, you know, there's so many times that you go through, you just get, we were talking about, I don't know who we were talking about that a minute ago, the rubber band, right? Being in that slingshot, coming back and being fire on Jesus, being hungry, being ready to do the right thing, and then get a little bit of taste of the world, and the warning signs go off, and you find yourself, how did I get here? How did I get here? Well, I traded God's love for this hustle. I traded God's love for this job. I traded God's love for this girl, this dude, whatever. You know what I mean? It's just those teeny little things. It's not a big thing. Nobody plans to wake up and be 32 facing 40, 45 plus a 3-18, right? You know, I sit home and go, you know what I'd like to do this afternoon? I'd like to wake up facing 45 years in a 3-18. Let's do that right now. You know, you don't plan that out. You wake up and you do it one tiny thing and another tiny thing and another tiny thing because the world's in our faces. It's right there. The minute that door opens and we go out in that world, it's waiting for us. Amen? But it's being in groups like this and churches like this and mentors like this and brothers and sisters like this that keep us strong. So that when those flags and those triggers and those things happen to us, we can stay strong and stay, you know, grounded. I'm the king of running good and falling over the cliff and running good and falling over the cliff. I know what it's like. You know, you get strapped in the roller coaster, it goes up, what's going to happen? It goes back down every time. That's the world. But when you strap in with God, there's no more drops. Amen?
Amen.
So, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we may become the righteousness of God in him. So when we talk about that godly love and when God shares that love to us and the understanding that he is literally willing to do anything for us, that we have the creator of the universe that's willing to be there for us at any single time. Amen? Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that I get to pray and say, God, get me out of this. And I was reading something the other day that said sometimes he doesn't get you out of it, but sometimes he gives you the tools to get through it. And when you come out the other side, you're stronger than when you were. Amen?
Amen.
Does that make sense to anybody?
Yep.
Song of Solomon, it's probably about the best I could pull out of there, is set me a seal upon thy heart, set me upon thine arm. For the love is as strong as death. Jealousy is cruel as the grave. For the coals there are of the coals of fire, which hath the most venomous flame. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can floods drown it. But if there were a man to give all the substance of his house for love, it would utterly be condemned or despised. And he's just talking about that love sometimes to us in a worldly level is just simply unachievable. Did you take all your strength and power? I can't tell you how many relationships I thought I was in love, right? Or how many different times I broke the hearts of people that thought that they loved me. But that's previous to where God came into my life and said, hey, this is what love is, right? And Toby shared it. When we start to think about it, and it breaks it down in Corinthians 13, and he says, love is patient. But 2 Peter 5:9 says, the Lord is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. And I appreciate that, right? Because you figure I probably lived at minimum 35 years, you know, trying to get under the radar. Oh, I'll get it right someday, God. I know you're there. I'll get there. You know, yes or no? I know that you know, Lyle talks about it too. I mean, there's groups of people that go up in the church and sit down on Sunday and go straight to the club on, you know, whatever. Not that that's the final straw, but the point of the matter is we keep stepping on this fence. You know, I remember an old pastor of mine called half-stepping. He was a basketball coach. So all of his references were basketball. But he called us half-steppers. You know, he's saying you're just not putting your energy in God. And I want to ask us today, myself included, am I putting forth all my energy towards that love? And I think about it, him being patient towards me. What if God was patient towards you the way that you're patient towards others? I would not be here right now, right? I mean, or if he just did it right at the clock, right at the tick of 12, there'd be lightning, you know what I mean? Like what if God was patient towards us like we're patient towards others? But that's what we're called to do. So we think about it, when we think about God, but then why would I water it down when I'm called to be? It's to be ye holy as he is holy. What's the expectation? The expectation is to live a godly lifestyle. Amen? Yes or no?
Yeah.
So, and then he goes on, he says, love is kind and not jealous, right? Kind. And, you know, I was funny. I was talking to my 17-year-old daughter. She accepts 3% of any knowledge given to her. So whatever it is, you got to get it out in like 9 seconds. So you got a 9-second window before she's Google, text, back home, whatever. So it's like, what's the best thing you could say to your daughter, you know, going and starting her senior year? And I said, you want to know what? They did a survey, and I mean, I really made that up. But I said, they did a survey. I said, you know what makes you the most popular person in your area? And she's like, no, what is it? What is it? I said, just be kind. Just be kind. You know, be kind. Show love. You know, you're just such a likable person. If you could just take God's kindness before you everywhere you go. And I know that I'm guilty of, like, looking at people crazy behind the register when they're taking too long. Or, you know, just all these weird little things where I realize that God's kindness is not with me. But I told her, I said, just be kind. And then do not be jealous. Love is not jealous. Amen. Does not brag. Is not arrogant. Is anybody guilty yet?
No.
Yes or no?
Yeah.
Who could still have their hand up right now? Does not act unbecomingly. Does not seek its own. That's sordid intentions, right? Is not provoked. So it's consistent. It's reliable. It's unmoving. And it's faithful. Just like we said, it's what? It's unconditional. In that I choose to love you no matter what. Amen. The same way we love our kids. Now, I know you want to beat them sometimes, and so do I. But the reality is these little kids, they can't even know any better. right? They just get out there. And, you know, I remember being a kid. I used to ride. I got a big wheel, and we had like 8 stairs, then a drive, then the street. And she gave it to me, and I got right on there. I went straight downstairs, into the street. And I got hit by a car like 3 times before they took my big wheel away. You know, and I'm like, oh, you hate me, you know. But you know, she had to, because you weren't going to tell me not to do that. It was the best. You could, you know, just get on, go straight down the stairs. You got enough momentum to crash into the curb on the other side. It's great. So, you know, and you think about us in that same way, living that edgy lifestyle and God just looking at us on the big wheel because we want to go back down those stairs. You know what I mean? It's just so silly. But he loves us enough to say, now this has to go. And I remember you guys were here, you know, for talking about the chaff and chaff being necessary for wheat to grow and men to become mature wheat in their age so that they can then plant more wheat. But the reality is, chaff sometimes necessarily isn't sin. It's a necessity of growth. So we look at our patterns of our lifestyles and we wonder sometimes why we went through that. But it aged us. It perfected us. It grew us. But then there was a time that came up when God said it's time for that to come off of us. And you know we don't like change, but we've lost people. We've lost circumstances. Times have changed in our life, right? Amen? Amen. But we're all still here, yes or no? So, I got completely lost track of where he was at. Does not take into account wrong suffering, right? He don't keep up. What's the last time, like, I've been married for 10 years now, and I get in trouble, but I don't just get in trouble for what I'm getting in trouble for. I get in trouble for 653 things that I've done for the last 10 years, right? Right? Well, you bought the car, you got bills, you got real estate, you got another year, another job. I'm like, man, by the time this is done, I can't even fix all that. You know what I mean? It's been 10 years. Right. All I did was forget to take the trash out, man. This stuff's building up in there, you know? But God don't do that. He don't sit there and keep score. And I know I got relatives that I've been with in my life that frustrate me because you love them. You want the best for them, right? But then they frustrate you because you watch them. And over and over and over and over again. But God don't keep track of that. God don't keep track of that. When we bring ourselves to humbly say, perfect or not perfect, in the door, knees shut, behind the room, on my knees, praying to God, God's there. Amen? He's not saying, well, we know about 19 different addictions, 4,681 mistakes this year. You know, it don't work out like that. That's how people work out, right? That's how the court system works out. It takes them 20 minutes to say finally what they're going to charge me with half the time. You know what I mean? I've been there. But God don't do that. When you bring a humble heart before God, he's not keeping track. So the question that comes to my mind then is, why are you? Why are you keeping track? Why can't you forgive yourself if God can forgive you then? Right? And I've been through that. So then I said, okay, tomorrow I'll wake up. I don't care what I did yesterday. I'm starting fresh, anew. What's the verse say? You know, like the dew, like the water of the dew, the Lord restores his mercies every day. When he forgives you as far as the east is to the west. How far is the east to the west? They don't touch. Right? So that means that you can wake up tomorrow, tonight, get on your knees, and feel at peace again. Amen? I don't care if it was last week, last year, 26 years ago, can't let it go. Today, you can live in peace in God's love. Amen?
Amen.
That's so powerful to understand that God's not sitting there like, look at him. Look at him now. You know, I've got this whole wall covered, 10 times fold. You know, I could never dig back out of that. You know, I kind of think it's really kind of strange and amazing how my mom still held on to me this long. Amen? Right? Because she's just a person. And I would have kicked me a long time ago. But he don't. Does not take account of the wrong suffering. Doesn't keep tabs. He doesn't keep record. Doesn't rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with truth. Never seeks to tear you down. Never negatively. Only for edification. God only looks to become a part of your life and build you. Bears all things. Believes all things. Bears all things. There is nothing that God can't take from us and give us peace. But the most common thing that I see from us is, God, please take it. Take it, God. Take it. God, take it. Take it. And tomorrow morning, I got it in my pocket. Right? It's on my shoulder. It's on. Take it. Please take it, God. Just take it. Take it. No, no, he's got me this time. He does, he's got me, you know. And then finally, after we go through this enough, it ain't mine anymore. Amen, right? It is mine, though. I'm thirsty. But the reality is simply that he says, cast your cares on him. Why? Because he cares for you. But if I'm casting, I'm not a fisher of fish. I'm kind of a fisher of men, even though I'm a fisher. But if you cast, like when you cast, right? I know sometimes they catch their ears and their kids, but for the most part, when you cast, what do? You take that and you throw it as far away into the pond as you can. You cast it. Amen, right? That means that we take that unforgiveness, we take that frustration, we take all those situations and we push them off of us and we give them to God, out of reach, so that tomorrow you can wake up tomorrow and be like, hey, I'm brand new. Amen?
Amen.
Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Now that's a powerful message to think about. That's a powerful message for me to conceptualize. Because I'm used to failing, yes or no? Right? How many of us ran good 961 times and ran bad 960 times? Right? We're one time up from the last time that we ran bad. Amen? Yes or no? Yeah. So, I mean, it's amazing to think that when we get ourselves in that. So, in Romans 8:38, Paul says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor principles nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Amen?
Amen.
You think about that in your life. There is nothing that could come about. Not prison, not past, not situations. There's nothing. He said, I am convinced. So it's by his experience that neither death nor life. How could we be more separated than that? Nor angels, nor demons, nor principalities, things present. You know, there's no doubt. There's nothing here today. There's nothing coming tomorrow. There's nowhere you can go. There's nowhere that God can't see that could possibly separate us from God's love that is in Christ Jesus. And that's such an amazing thing that God's grace can be available to us to understand that. So when we think about love, and we think about God's love, and then we think about his calling for us to share his love, then let's do our best to appropriately show that in what we do. Amen?
Yeah.
All right, let's pray.